There was a picture in the paper the other day. I wonder if you saw it. A smiling young woman. Beautiful, beloved. And that photograph will be pushed off the news in a day or two. Oh, there'll be mentions of her, but other news will come. Hungrier news, desperate news. News with champions and advocates to push it all forward and up right in your face. And that young woman, she'll be diminished. The special prosecution of Donald Trump. And who made a deal with Colonel Flynn and who didn't? And another sexual predator or two harassing other women in Congress? And for the Democrats, there's always Al Franken's ridiculous excuse and John Conyers' identity politics and the next Matt Lauer and all that stuff helps Republican Roy Moore, who once allegedly trolled for teenage girls. And all that confusion helps him in this upcoming election. And there's more news to push back that story of that smiling girl I told you about. And every day she'll be pushed back farther and farther in the papers and on the internet. Certain television shows won't touch her, and she will pass and drop before us like some stone in the water. You know her name. Her name is Katie Steinle. Kate Steinle was walking with her dad in San Francisco when she said, "Help me, Daddy." And then she was dead. She'd been shot in the back, the bullet fired from a gun held by Jose Ines Garcia Zarate. He's an illegal alien, or I suppose I'm supposed to call it undocumented worker. A career criminal. He'd been deported at least 5 times. He was a felon. He shot the gun. He was not convicted of murder or manslaughter because in the sanctuary city of San Francisco, in the sanctuary state of California, he was protected. He should have been turned over to federal immigration authorities, but he wasn't. And so he was out on the street with the gun and she's dead. Sanctuary city laws are about winning political support from the open borders crowd. It's a Democratic thing. Though in Illinois, Republican Governor Bruce Rauner and Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, the modern Zorro of Chicago politics, well, they're all of the same party on that one. Of course, all that sanctuary city stuff is in direct violation of federal law, and federal law supersedes local law when it comes to federal immigration policy. Why? Because a nation of people is supposed to decide who comes in and who doesn't. But this is politics, and so he was protected, and the career criminal Zarate found himself on the wharf with the gun, and Katie Steinle is dead. Justice isn't blind in San Francisco. Justice is political. And a few minutes after the amazing not-guilty verdict, I scanned Twitter to see some of my favorite liberal pundits to see if they'd say anything snarky about those who believe that people of a sovereign nation have the right to determine who enters their country. I didn't see much. There was no snark, at least in the beginning. Just silence. Just nothing. And I think I know why. Because they don't want Katie Steinle to be in your mind, in your face, in your heart. They want things to be as silent as that smile from Katie Steinle in the paper. She was loved. She did love. She was killed. And there was no justice for her. There was politics, though. Politics aplenty. And politics is not blind.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Welcome again to another edition of the Chicago Way. That's the finest podcast in Chicago behind the blue iron curtain of Mike Madigan. I'm John Cass, your mild-mannered columnist, and Jeff Carlin, mild-mannered producer for WGN Radio.
Hey, John.
And, you know, we have a guest. Later on, we're going to have Mike Houlihan, Hooley, the legendary storyteller from the 19th Ward, who's written a book called Nothing's on the Square about Chuy Garcia's campaign.
Yeah, his runoff with Zorro, Mayor Zorro, as you like
with
to call
Mayor
him.
Zorro. And also, we have Ryan Burrow. Just walked in. Ryan,
hey,
what's up, man?
How you doing?
WGN newsman yourself?
Yeah. I've run into you a couple times this week now. I was bell ringing last week. I saw you out there, said hey, and then saw you at the Chuy Garcia, Luis Gutierrez press conference earlier this week.
What did you think? Oh, the bell ringing, now, was that when I... I dropped in 10 bucks in
One of those gold coins, right? You put in one of those.
No. Here's the thing, okay? You got the WGN people have been switching off every 2 hours ringing bells. I can't drop in 10 bucks every time I walk by. So I did it in the morning, and then who was with you?
It was me and Andrea Darlis. I know that Judy Pilak did it for a little while. There were a few people that were kind of rotating in and out.
Yeah, and some bosses were doing it, and I'm like, they're like, can you do that? I said, I already gave 10 bucks. What do you want from me? 10 bucks every day. What is this?
I think the Salvation Army appreciates
they
it.
They do. They appreciate every dollar or penny you donate.
It's wonderful, isn't it? It's because there's nothing like talking about giving and without mentioning the reason for the gift. But that's the secular world we live in. Let's go back to politics, Ryan. Burrow, we were in the... where were we? Damn it! Where was
Maggiano's?
Maggiano's,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, and there was Ryan Burrow sitting with the bigs.
Well,
he was sitting with Rick Pearson, and let's see who else. Louis Gutierrez's roommate, the columnist for the Sun-Times, Mark Brown, right?
That's
right.
That was a very.
Oh, wait, Jeff looked at me, gave me a face. I would never write that, but come on.
No, that's a good one because he and Luis toured Puerto Rico together. Yeah, they shared a hotel room.
They shared an ice bucket.
It was a fun press conference because we were jammed in there tight, weren't we? I mean, there wasn't much elbow room. Classic. Everyone in Chicago wanted to be there. Every outlets. This wasn't kind of something that was out in the open air. It was tight in there. A lot of cords. A lot of camera guys, and a lot of big names. John Cass was there, for example. And
yes, of course.
Yeah, and you can't
have one without me.
You had some kind of. It was a national feel to it because you had some of the national people in there understanding
don't know crap about Chicago politics.
Exactly. And then you had the local people as well, and state politics got involved, county politics. There was a lot of moving parts
but
in that press conference.
But tell the people who are listening what happened there, Ryan.
Well, we apparently loaded up Mr. Garcia's podium with too many microphones, so he could not read his proposed speech. I don't know if you picked up on that.
He did kind of mention it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, we heard the congressman talked a lot about how this wasn't about him, how this was about Chuy Garcia.
Because Louis Gutierrez was there to basically hand off his congressional seat to...
Name his successor, essentially.
Name his successor, exactly. Jesus Garcia, the guy he hated Jesus.
Right.
They never liked each other. They've been rivals for 30 years. Louis acting like this is my son.
Right.
My son Jesus, my son Chuy.
El Gallito is passing the crown to Chuy.
Right. The BS, the bull crapola was so high that I was going to call Streets and Sand and shovel it out of there.
And he's like, I'm not going to run for this. I'm not going to run for that.
I'm not going to run for president. I'm not going to tour. No. He said, I'm going to tour everything.
Right.
I'm going to go to Ohio. I'm going to go to Michigan.
And
somebody wrote,
I'm not going to say who, but somebody wrote that he's going to run for president. Oh, my God. Okay. And another guy wrote, no, he's going to go into real estate and make some money in Puerto Rico. Who's that guy? I don't know. Maybe
he wasn't the roommate, that's for sure.
Anyway.
But it's funny. So Ryan and I obviously both work at WGN, and when stories pop, and Ryan will come to me because we – as many people know, John's history and Archie's history was our John's nephew. What was it, the gag over there at LS when we would always talk, you'd fill in for news?
Yeah, I did some news.
He was my nephew.
Yeah,
he was my news nephew, right?
Yeah, your radio nephew.
Yes, that's right, Ryan.
And so we used to have fun with that. But so Burrow and I, we always talk about stories and they pop. I'll be prepping for our show in the afternoon and Burrow will come in or he'll send me audio of something he was out covering. But he comes in and he's like, man, he's like, this was a good press conference. You know, you had the old schoolers there. You had the Marianne Ahearns and the John Casses, and you're watching them kind of both work the room. And they've known both Gutierrez and Chuy forever. So it's not like it's like, hey, you know, who's this guy I want to know more about?
Right.
It's hey, we know what you're saying. Just get to it already. And so, but Ryan says, sent me a piece of audio.
Really?
And it was Marianne Ahearn trying to get in a question. And Ryan, you probably do a better job of setting this up because you were there. But I've got that piece you sent me.
Yeah, it was like I said, very tight in there. A lot of reporters, and everyone wanted to get the questions in, and they didn't know he was kind of Luis Gutierrez, the congressman, was talking and talking, and we knew he was going to open it up for questions. So how was this going to happen? Was he going to pick and choose? And the way his communications Handler? Person. Yeah, kind of did it. She was going to pick and choose, but that's not the way that we operate.
Lori
all
Glenn,
the time.
Right? Was Lori Glenn doing it, or was
I can't remember
Klomsky?
What her name is?
Joanne Klomsky? No, yeah. Which one was working for?
Well, you can tell just by what Joanna John's Klomsky saying that a lot of people weren't gonna follow the rule as to what it was because there were a lot of questions.
You're gonna pick. I'm gonna pick only my friends
exactly.
from the national media who don't know crapola about what's going on here. No, sorry.
And I want to step back for a second. Obama's done this. I mean, we saw him at his press conferences. We know Rahm does this. I mean, every big name politician, they want to go to their person first. I mean, it's just the way it is. Uh-huh. But this was especially fun, I thought.
You did not support Chewy for mayor when he ran.
I'm sorry.
Why? You did not support him when he ran.
Yeah, but you sound, you
so
sound,
why?
You sound excited. Though.
Well, why?
After,
make sure that I get my question.
Oh, you're saying it loud so the camera could pick it up? I mean, the audio? You're just sounding excited. Okay.
So, you did not support him for mayor.
Yeah.
So now why?
Is he the one? She's not I think the big takeaway from that was when she turned to, because he's trying to like settle her down essentially. He says, "You're screaming," and she goes, "You're acting like Rahm now." That's what she goes.
Is that what it was?
You're behaving like Rahm.
You couldn't pick it up.
I was sitting right behind her. I couldn't even hear her.
Yeah, she goes, "You're behaving like Rahm," and she kind of said it like lower, like, "Come on here."
Yeah.
Because we've been in those situations with the mayor before, where you know he tries to kind of run the room a little bit. He's bebopping and scatting, and you know we just want the answer,
Ryan,
man. You know
what they're trying to do is put you on the defensive, right? They want you to make you aware of yourself. It's a game. And they try to knock you on your heels with what they want. And you cannot kick them in the special purpose if you're back on your heels. You have to be on your toes leaning forward.
Right.
Like guns or knives, Butch, that kind of thing.
And I thought she did a good job handling herself and putting the point across that, look, we know what you're doing. Just knock it off here. Answer the question.
She's really good.
Oh, God.
It was a lot of fun to be there with the on either side of the podium. Lectern, sorry,
sure.
I would say podium, and it is lectern.
It's lectern.
Were two large pictures, one of, like poster size, one of Chewy and Harold Washington, the late Harold Washington, another of Louis and the late Harold Washington. And Louis says at one point in the news conference, and I wrote about it in the column, it's almost like we're Harold's sons.
Did say that.
And I thought, oh my Lord.
And it's important to point out, too, that these were separate pictures of them. This was not all three of them together. We didn't get pictures of Louie and Chewy together. These were separate pictures.
Notice? But, I mean, now, I don't know. Anybody out there think who's listening to my voice who remembers those days, back in the long ago, yesteryear, you think Louie Gutierrez is the son of Harold Washington? Or did he run to Rich Daley and say, "Be my daddy, Rich. Be my daddy." Which one?
You're the master. That's a little before my time.
He said, "Be my daddy, Rich Daley."
Okay.
Okay. Who's your daddy? You are, Rich. Yeah. Oh yeah. I got in it with him too, a little bit with Louie. There was something.
Yeah. Well, you were the one. You kind of, while she was trying to manage to pick out who she thought was going to have the best questions, because they were also trying to get some questions into Chewy, who is essentially standing on the side. Because everyone wants to know, really, why are you stepping down? You're 63 years old. You're in Congress. Everything seems you're the heart of this immigration fight now in Washington, and you decide to walk away. So that's what we wanted to understand. We weren't really interested in the crowning of Chewy Garcia at that point, but
I was.
You were, because you wanted to go after the conversations that had happened between Chewy, Luis, and the mayor, Rahm Emanuel.
Right.
And you know,
I think I asked them something like, "Well, Louis, did Rahm say thank you?" Something like that. I said something smart-assy in there, right? But I can't help myself. You know, like, did Rahm say thank you? Because you got to put them back on, you know who Louis is, right? Little 26-word guy. And I just had to
And I can tell you, I think there was an appreciation from the media side. You kind of just put your fist right in there. You weren't going to wait for all these questions for them to work around the room.
Because
they probably wasn't. You know, I don't think it was, because the way that they were trying to orchestrate the whole thing. I mean, look, we just want answers. And I think that the one thing that people listening to this have to understand is, when you're in one of these media things, you kind of work together. You know, you kind of you know you can't manipulate the whole thing yourself. So you kind of work together to get the answers you want. So there is a bond between us and the media on the media side. And I think that that was necessary, because if they were just going to keep picking off little questions here and there from the people they feel comfortable with, that wasn't going to work.
Congressman Gutierrez, how much do you love the people of Puerto Rico? Congressman Gutierrez, why are you so wonderful?
Well, and there's a different dynamic too with the interviews with him as well as with Chuy Garcia, because there is the Spanish media, you know, right? And then they've got to get questions in it. Absolutely they do. And chances right. are I tune out. I don't know what the questions are. I don't know what the answers are. But, you know, so you've got that dynamic playing in as right. well.
Yeah, and that's my deficit. I don't speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. And this campaign, especially between Alderman Acosta and Chuy Garcia, it could be kind of, you know, tough. And you have to have Spanish to understand when the racial appeals are made. Because
right.
to us, like at Maggiano's, it'll be policy and ROM and this and that. And then out on the street, it's going to be a different deal.
Absolutely.
Right? So, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the goofiest thing about all of this, is that it's like, not even goofy isn't the word for it, but it's just changing. I mean, it's so different now.
What?
I think when, you know, guys like Burrow is it's a different era where you used to tell stories about, you know, old daily press conference where it's smoke-filled room, or it's a city hall press conference, smoke-filled room, and people are just, you know, shouting things back and forth. Right. Whereas this is, it's the other way now. I feel like
they
the politicians
control the
are controlling.
No,
they try.
Been, because I think a lot of, there's been a huge turnover in reporters. Ryan Burroughs is a veteran.
Well, no, yeah.
Right? No. He's not like some kid.
Right.
John Cass's nephew.
Right.
You
no.
know?
But
no.
we're also looking for different things, too. TV's looking for a 2-minute piece that they can put together to explain exactly what happened in that. I'm looking for literally a 15-second soundbite where I can explain what happened, jam that soundbite in there, move on. You've got a different purpose
what
with
am
the
I
column.
Looking for?
Well,
what
you,
am I looking
you've got
for?
A column. You can go a little bit longer with your form. You can read between the lines in a lot of your stuff. You have the ability
to
do that.
People want especially when it comes to politics. I want to know, which is what you were going to. I noticed when you were there, you're trying to get to what the real thing is. Cut the bull crapola and get to the real thing.
Sure.
The real thing is the handoff. Who's going to make the money? Who, what, when, where, why, how, and how much? And in Chicago, it's always how much, right?
Chicago way.
So we leave the news conference, Ryan. And it's over, and then people are standing around for their intimate interviews with the participants.
Sure, sure.
You know, if you're, in other words, she says this before we start the news conference. So it's like, if you're good, we'll give you some time with the candidates, right?
Right.
One on one, which is the TV people love this, because that means they think they have real access
right.
to the truth. Which they don't. It's just another dog and pony show with a meat puppet in front of you moving its lips. So we leave, and Ryan, I say bye to Ryan, walk out, and I see a businessman associate of Louis Gutierrez.
Okay.
Very smart guy. I respect him very well. But let's put it this way. He's not a cream puff, okay? And he's not a true believer in political unicorns and bronies, okay? And I'm like, hey, Juan. He's like, hey, man, what's up? And I said, so when do you and Louis put out your business cards, Puerto Rican Real Estate Development, Seaside Resorts, et cetera? And he's like, dude, you're so cynical. I have a question for both of you. What's he going to do first? Is Louis going to run for president, or is he going to develop real estate in Puerto Rico? My island, she is hurt. She needs help.
I think he will do both quasi-simultaneously. He will tour the country to build up his reputation and leverage, as Mark Brown said, leverage the populace, the ethnic populace in the Democratic Party, much like Jesse Jackson did in the 80s.
Yeah, it really helped.
Well,
it really helped Mike Dukakis.
Yeah, well, sure. That's the thing, is that it's what was the take? The only value was to Jackson, and this is the only value here is going to be to Gutierrez.
Right.
And it's the value, so he can turn around and say, hey, I'm going to fix Puerto Rico. I'm going to be the guy. Look what I did. I got everybody on my side. Let's do it.
So he's going to talk and talk and talk and become like the King Latino.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be the King Latino guy who will broker Latino votes for whatever Democrat wants to suck up to me enough on Puerto Rico development.
Yep.
No,
that's possible. I mean, there was definitely that feel in there. I'm going to go to Michigan. I'm going to go to Ohio, Florida. Come on. These are the states you're talking about going to visit, these immigrant communities. I don't know if he actually is thinking about running for president per se, but I could see him being a viable option for maybe a Democratic candidate to hook onto as maybe a vice presidential option. Or remember, what did he do during the Rahm Emanuel campaign? He ran his campaign, didn't he? Didn't Luis Gutierrez run his 2015 campaign? I mean, would he be no?
Well, does Luis say that he ran Rahm's campaign?
Well, wasn't that the thing that he said that he was very involved?
He was very involved.
Because I mean, would he be someone who would be able to run a campaign for a Democratic candidate as well in the future?
I think Luis is a good talker. He's a real good talker. And he doesn't. And there's one thing that's endearing about Luis Gutierrez. There's that moment, like what he was saying about we are the sons of Harold Washington, mm-hmm. where he knows he's full of, you know what, and you know he knows you know he's full of it, and he still talks and he like gets into character and emotes, but there's a little like 10% that's communicating to you from the corner of his eye, that's like I know this is BS and so do you. And there's that kind of – it's endearing in a way. It's like
he knows that there's
on the square, right?
Everyone knows that the game is being played.
It's a game.
And it's playing out in front of everyone.
It's a game. And the one thing I still have trouble dealing with, things from a politician's past, Ryan. Now, in broadcast, you're working for that soundbite, for that – you know, that is the requirement of your job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the car. I'm listening to WGN radio, and I do all the time. When I'm not writing my column.
Ding.
And you want to have that little three or four sound bites so Rokan and Anna can riff on them during the Rokan show with Anna DeVolantes. Ding. Right?
Ding.
The problem is nobody asks. My problem is no one says, hey, you're really a nice showman and you're giving us sound bites and it's really entertaining and this is an interesting game. But you didn't pay your... You only paid $275 in property taxes for 3 years on a $350,000 house. It was listed as a vacant bleeping lot, Mr. Reformer. No one wants to say that stuff. Why? No one wants to mention it. Why? What is it? Is it just doesn't matter? What is it?
I think it's...
Is it like rude?
No, I mean,
to mention stuff that's real?
Well, you've only got your time frame, you know, is a constraint there, but people only have so much focus in the day. And you start getting into, you know, they can only listen to you for so long on air or in a newscast. You throw out a question like that, people are like, what are you talking about? If they don't know, they're not referencing it. Then you'd have to go and explain it, and you have to stretch it out.
I just explained it in 10 seconds.
Well, I know you did, but then the person who's talking has to know that, and then... You just run out of time.
I want to ask you this. I think I'm in a different position, so I'm not criticizing.
No,
and I'm not, but we're talking about the news and how it's done. And people want to know. When they listen to the podcast, they really want to know. This stuff never gets talked about.
Right.
I have a unique position where I can, like Ryan said, I can go to a news conference. I could either do the, hey, John Cass is here thing, or just keep my mouth shut and observe. One of the two.
Right.
Or combination. But if you're a TV producer or radio producer or reporter, you've got to get that soundbite.
And fast.
And if you say, you start that soundbite saying, hey, what about those property taxes you never paid, Louis? You know, the 275. How did that work, man? I got a feeling he shuts down.
You don't get those intimate one-on-ones afterwards go away.
I think that it's a function of I'm not trying to be superior because I'm not. I'm just trying to say that this is how they operate, politicians. They will shut down. They might not want to talk anymore. Not that they don't want to talk. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not going to talk to Ryan because he asked me a mean question. That's what I know. They just get defensive. They pull their antenna in. They go into their shell.
Circle the wagon.
And then they're not given a soundbite that you can put on the air.
Sure. Let me ask you two
questions.
Am
I wrong there?
No, I think you're absolutely right. You almost have to play the game so that something could be, because there's potential for something to be answered. But let me ask you two questions. First of all, do you like those kind of press conferences? Do you like that?
Sometimes
when
I do.
We're all tight in there and we're all.
Sometimes I do, yeah, I do. I like the theater of them now. I don't like them for real information because you have to work it before and afterward. But so it's really a theatrical operation for TV, right? That's what it is. It's not for you or me.
From your perspective, do you get more information in one-on-ones with these guys as opposed to those kind of situations?
When that happened, when I heard about it, Marianne Ahern, broke the story on Twitter. And then Tribune, and then Dan Michalopoulos, and I think that was the success, you know, the Sun-Times and that. So I start calling around. I'm calling political people the night before. I'm not waiting for the news conference that day, you know?
Sure.
So I'm hearing all this stuff. Everyone's speculating. How much money is he going to make? What kind of real estate operation is going to be? Hilton Hotels, Pritzker, are they going to come in? You know, that kind of, right? And so the event is a theatrical event, right?
Sure.
It's not an understanding event. But in the theater, there's things that people reveal about themselves as they act.
Sure.
Is that something?
Yeah,
crazy?
No, I understand completely. You already coming into that, you've got a feel for who the players are, what's happening, and now you can sit back almost from like a sports perspective and see how it plays out and how these interactions take place and if someone is able to tip him off of his game or one of these politicians off of their
game. But it's a luxury that I have that others don't. And I thank God every day that I have this job that I do.
Sure.
Because if I had to do a different kind of job, I would do it the way that job is required, right? And the job of of a radio reporter is what? To get people on tape talking about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you too. Ryan, I have a question. Did you ever have a compelling piece of tape about a man thinking silently to himself?
No. No, I have not. I have not.
Right?
Very good.
My other question to you then is, what do you see the congressman doing in these next few, the last remaining months of his time in office? Is he going to ramp up? Is he going to try to make himself more exposed, or is he going to kind of go and hang tight and be sheltered for the next few months?
If everything is as we think it is now, and it's just about him leaving on his own accord because
he's
going to
go fix Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico and help the country and get rid of all the American borders, because that's what he's about, and maybe, you know, get George Soros to invest in his real estate empire in Puerto Rico, then he will ramp stuff up before he leaves. Because Louis is a guy who has to be telling you that he exists, right? That's his whole thing, is talking to reporters. Mike Madigan, right, it doesn't need to talk to reporters. The guy we're going to have on later, Mike Houlihan from the 19th Ward, he knows guys, you know, like Jeremiah Joyce and other people. They are just, in their day, were just as powerful in politics as some pipsqueak congressmen, but they never talked to reporters at all. So there's all kinds of things that make politics, right?
Sure.
But for Louis, what do you think, Ryan?
Well, he's a guy who likes a microphone. And I'm going to tell you right now, anytime that he speaks on the House floor, anytime that he's holding some press event, anytime he's meeting with, immigrant groups, we're getting the emails. You're getting the emails. This is happening. Hey, here's a YouTube link to what he said. Here are his comments. Here's his statement. You know, I mean, it is he very much. And we. I have to tell you, I've covered a lot of things. Athletes, we like to go to athletes who will speak to us. There are a lot of athletes who shut down and they don't want to talk.
Right.
And so you start wondering a little bit about, is it because they're hiding something? You know, so it is kind of refreshing to lean on the people who do speak, but you have to be careful about that too.
Why is that?
Because you don't know what if what you're being fed is, you know, the true tale. So it's an interesting dynamic, for sure.
There was a guy in the 13th Ward. His name was Frank Olivo. He was Mike Madigan's alderman, basically, Boss Madigan's alderman. Frankie Olives, okay? I don't think Frankie, in the 20 years he was in the city council, ever said five words in public.
That's the Chicago way.
That's the Chicago way. Ryan Burrow, thanks for being here, man.
Thank
you. Can
you
do this again?
Yeah.
And I want to apologize for all that, like, my news nephew crap from when we were on WLS, all right?
That's why we're all gone from there anyways.
Dude, we
clean
all got
slate, yeah.
You're going to hear Houlihan has his theories. All right, thanks a lot, Ryan.
All right, take care, John.
Windy City Irish, where the crack is always best, where every day is Paddy's Day and everyone's a guest. If you're Irish on the north side or Irish on the west, welcome to the south side. Come join the Irish fest. We're the south side Irish as our fathers were before. We come from the Windy City and we're Irish to the core. From Bridgeport,
you can't have a podcast called The Chicago Way without talking about Chicago stuff. And there's a guy in the podcast with us, Jeff Carlin, Mike Houlihan, the famous rock on tour, also known as Hooli.
Hi, everybody.
And his book, Nothing's on the Square. Tell us about yourself, Mr. Houlihan, for those who don't know
about
you.
About myself, I grew up on the south side of Chicago in the 19th Ward. My brother was our state rep. My dad was Alderman Tommy Fitzpatrick's best friend. Used to hang out at Castle's Buffet in Brainerd, right at the train stop there at 91st Street. I left home in 1973 to become an actor on the East Coast in Stratford, Connecticut with the American Shakespeare Festival, and then traveled all over the country.
What's your favorite Shakespearean character?
King Lear. I'm the fool. I played the fool, Demoris Karnofsky, the founder of the group theater. So I did that for 12 years, and then I had kids. And I was living in Manhattan with my wife, and I said, let's get the hell out of here.
Come home.
Used to come out the door, and there'd be a chalk outline in front of my building.
Oh,
some guy who got shot the night before and said, time to move. Here's another thing. I used to walk my kids around the neighborhood. Now, that's west of Times Square a little bit.
Right.
And I'll never go. We're walking down the street, and there's a movie house, and I'm with my twin sons that are like 4 years old, and the name of the movie was Romancing the Bone. Well, what's this about, Dad? Let's keep walking, keep walking. So I figured, let's get the heck out of New York. I was just there like 2 weeks ago, and it all came back to me. I'm so glad I got out. I felt like an ant by the end of the weekend, you know?
And then you did some theatrical work here, too,
yeah,
right?
I did. I came back here. I produced the 51st Ward, Peter Nolan's play. I produced and directed that. And then I wrote a memoir, a one-man stage memoir called Going East on Ashland that ran for 6 years. It's a colossal hit. I had a lot of fun with that.
It was very good.
I was going to bring you a DVD.
Also, you know that Rahm Emanuel, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, the Cub fan that he is, had a resolution for the Cubs once when he was a congressman after Jimmy DeLeo and the boys got him elected.
Yeah.
And it was honoring the Cubs at Wrigley Field at Ash 1600 West Addison.
1600 West.
Yeah, I would say that's Ash. I don't think Ashland is anywhere near Wrigley Field. No.
No.
You got to be pretty drunk to go west on Ashland.
There you go. So you have this book. So here's what he does. He writes a book called Nothing's on the Square about his adventures working the Chuy García mayoral campaign, Jeff Carlin. In there, he does a lot, has some speculation about me, and therefore, without mentioning you.
Right, of course.
I think it's a great. Where do you get this book? This is a very good
book. You can get
book.
It on Orange. Amazon. That's the quickest way to get it.
Where all fine books are sold.
And you can get it 103rd and Western at Bookies.
Where even better books are sold.
And you can get it on my website, abbyfieldpress.com, and I'll sign it and send it priority mail, but that's going to cost a little bit extra, of course.
Do I get a percentage of that?
No. Chicago Put a button style? On your website, and I might be able to kick something back
so,
to you.
Chicago Way.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us about this book, Hooli.
All right, so I'm sitting home one day, and my old pal Mike Joyce, the Pickle, calls me and goes, hey, you guys interested in making some money working on a Chuy García's campaign? I said, how much could we make? You know, Bill Crawford was my partner in a lot of these schemes.
Former Tribune
Pulitzer Prize winning Bill Crawford. So I said, yeah, sure, I need some dough. Who doesn't? So he goes, get downtown and meet Clem Balanoff today. So I get a hold of Crawford. I said, hey, I think – first, I looked up Chuy and said, who is this guy? And, you know, looked up his history with Harold Washington and all that. And then who else was running? I see Bob Fioretti is running. And that was kind of a sticky situation because Bob had donated money to some of my theatrical productions. So I sent him a – I got online, I sent him a donation for $25 just to ease my conscience. Then I picked up Crawford and I said,
you're just covering yourself.
Exactly.
Right.
So we go down there and we walk in. It's like an old pizza parlor. I was on Franklin Street. And we meet Clem and I got my pitch packet, you know, and Crawford and I, 75 years of media, showbiz, all that garbage. Crawford's Pulitzer Prize, that was the hook, you know, to bring him in. But my old friend Marty O'Connor, who is now deceased, but he was a Daily News guy. Once in a while he'd be on it. But his motto was, if you're working in politics, get the money up front. Everything else is nonsense.
Right, right.
And I took it to heart. So I thought, when do we get paid? You know, that was my first.
But then you run in, what's fascinating is you run into, because you have to know about this book. He tells everything, okay?
Yeah.
He pisses people off that are friends of mine.
One and of them, mine.
And his.
Yeah.
One of them, David Schaefer, immediately he goes in to make this pitch to Clem Balanoff,
who's
like, you should have been singing the Internationale for him or something, whatever. The communist national anthem.
Schaefer was supposed to give us the green light. He was sent there by Pickle, and he was supposed to just say, hire these guys.
Right.
And he didn't.
Right.
He started giving me some crap about where's your list of campaigns. I said, yeah, I got that. It's at home in my computer.
You thought it was a done deal.
Exactly.
And here comes Dave Schaefer, who's good friends with another friend of ours deceased, the legendary
Tuna,
Tommy Carey.
Yeah.
And Dave Schaefer starts, in your book, sabotaging your bid
exactly.
for some cash.
Yeah, sandbagging me.
So you call him up, and you, like, rage.
Oh, I went nuts.
You have this passage where you talk about your raging. Like, you, when your rage starts talking to you, you just have to either give in or go crazy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an Irish thing, Jeff Carlin?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, yeah.
Because Greeks don't get like
that. So he happened to call me. I got back from the meeting, and I thought, I don't know if we're going to get hired or not, but if I get my hands on that Schaefer, I'm going to wring his neck. And he calls me. So I just unloaded on him, and he was, like, taken aback. But to my surprise, he fought back, you know.
Right.
I've got put $20,000 in this campaign, and I'm the guy who calls the shots, and you better not. I said, oh, I'm supposed to kiss your ass now, I suppose, huh? And he goes, well, no. But you know, anyway, he calmed down. We got
Have
the
you
gig.
Talked to Davidson since?
No. But Pickle says he read the book, so.
Are you gonna,
hi, Dave.
Well, he might be at the – we're taping now, but – right after we're taping, you'll hear this later, but he's Hooley's going over to the Irish Fellowship.
The Christmas luncheon. Yeah.
Are you going to see him there?
I have no idea.
Oh, that would be nice. That would be Homeric.
Yes, very There's
very
a lot of people there that are probably ready to clock me. But
Well, because the unions had made a deal with Rahm, especially the plumbers.
Yes.
And you know me and the plumbers and the whole
– The plumbers were sponsors of my radio show. The Skinny and Hooley Show, the plumbers were our sponsors.
Is that thing still on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The show's still on, but they are no longer sponsors.
The plumbers, right. Yeah. So he takes Chuy García.
Yes. Oh, to the corned beef and cabbage dinner.
To the corned beef and cabbage dinner at the plumbers' hall.
God.
The daggers.
Bearding the lion in his den.
Tell us about that story.
Okay, that was pretty wild. Because, first of all, I had to buy a table. That's like $750, and I don't have a lot of dough. And the year before, they never cashed my check, the plumbers. So I'm thinking, I'm going to have to give them the check to get the table. And I got Chuy with me, so I know they're going to cash the check.
Right.
So I give the guy the money. I thought, I'll never see that dough again. I go out in the parking lot. I meet Chuy, and I bring him in. There's a bar downstairs. And
where's the corned beef from?
Harrington's, the
up
best.
Up on the north side.
Yeah.
Harrington, that is
on
amazing,
Milwaukee Avenue. It's terrific.
Anyway, go on.
So We take Chewy around through the, and the Mike Tierney comes up to me, who was the
Harrington's on Milwaukee, correct?
Yeah, 5600 okay. North Milwaukee.
All right. In case anybody wants to sponsor this podcast, go on.
So Mike Tierney comes running over to me. He sees me, and he sees me with Chewy, and it's like, what the hell are you bringing him here for? I said, I brought him to, for the corned beef. He goes, who invited him? I did.
You.
I thought his head was going to explode. Right. And you know what is funny? I guess he has yelled at Skinny. He said, did you read what he – I said, I never said anything bad about him in the book. That's the thing about Chicago. You tell the truth, and all of a sudden you're part of the lunatic fringe.
Welcome to my world, Hooli.
Yeah. It's like everything in there is true. Give me a break. You're nuts. You're crazy. It's like, crazy? I don't think so. That happened.
So you bring Chewy Garcia to the Plumbers Hall for the Irish corned beef and cabbage.
St. Patrick's Day Parade fundraiser, yeah.
Yeah. And were there any Italian surnamed girls who were going to be named the queen?
Yeah. Oh, Lauren Catanella was there.
That's
I forgot about your story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're still living in for me for that.
Notice that none of the plumbers stood up to say that the mayor was telling the truth because he wasn't.
That was great.
Anyway,
I forgot about that. Yeah.
I didn't see one.
She's
plumber.
A lovely girl.
She is. And mom was a copper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fighting
her mom
narcotics.
Was an Irish copper. Yeah.
Fighting narcotics 9 to 5 with, with the City Hall car. But, okay, we're not going to get into that, okay? But that, the guys were upset that.
Oh, yeah,
that
they were. But, you know, not all. A lot of people were like, hey, listen. There's a lot of guys in unions, and maybe their union was back in Rahm. They hated Rahm, many of them. So many of them were very, Chewy, Mr. Commissioner, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
He got a good reception from most of the people. Then he left. He took off, and then I had to sit there and have everybody staring daggers at me for the rest of the dinner. but the die had been cast, okay?
That's
I got the
dramatic.
Evil eye from Jimmy Coyne, the head of the Plumbers Union. It was like, you're dead to me now, that kind of stuff.
Holy, this could be like a little TV show, like a Irish, what's the kid that pretends to be an Irishman on Showtime? He takes care
Ray
of
Donovan?
Stuff. Right. He's Irish. But Ray Donovan, right? But you could be like a Hooli, like on HBO, like Hooli's Tales or something.
Old Hooli. Yeah.
So, okay. So later on, I run into you guys. You're at the Southside
Parade.
Irish Parade.
Yeah.
And there's Rahm, and he's hiding from me.
He was hiding.
Right.
Because he had been announced that he was going to march, and then they pulled it. Somebody from your office called Pickle and said, hey, what's the deal? Isn't Rahm going to be there?
Right.
And Pickle goes, he's going to be kind of marching with all the union guys so that nobody, heckles him. Of course, they heckled him anyway.
If you ever been in the Irish Parade, Jeff Carlin?
Been in it?
No. Southside Irish Parade.
Or been Southside Irish Parade.
Yeah.
All right, you see these guys, okay, they're union presidents now, but if you shake their hands... Okay? You can still see in a 70, 65-year-old guy, you can see the 25-year-old in him coming over here, a pickup truck, two pickaxes, a brother, and a cousin.
Yeah.
And that's how the excavation business started. And you shake their hands, it's like shaking the hands of an end of a plow.
Okay? Right.
You know what I mean? It's hard and horny or whatever.
And don't get them mad at you.
And so these guys are running... interference for Rahm,
who's
beloved out on West
Virginia. Oh, sure he is. I'm surprised they weren't throwing things at him. And it's funny because at the end of the parade, now Skinny Sheehan is my radio partner. He's still mad at me for this. I called him that day. I called him the Neville Chamberlain of the 19th Ward because he wouldn't say who he was for. He was trying to play it safe. And most of the campaign, he stayed in Florida, but he was there on parade day. And the Sheehans have a big party at the end of the parade, I thought, well, I'm going to go there and get some free drinks, and I got the evil eye from a lot of people there.
Did you bring Chewy with you?
No, Chewy had left. I brought Crawford. Me and Crawford.
Oh, you guys were the traitors.
Yeah, exactly.
You were like the Effie Alties of the Irish clan.
There was of people on our side, believe me.
You know, the Effie Alties was the guy who gave Xerxes the way to get behind the Spartans up the mountain and back when they
were this is Greek mythology.
It's not mythology. It's truth, my friend.
Yeah.
300 Spartans, baby. So, what's your now? Chewie decides to make a deal. I called it a little dance, like the dance of the sugar plum fairies.
Oh, just now,
just a few days ago.
Yeah,
he Louis Gutierrez steps down. Chewie goes forward to be congressman. Rom's like, hey, I don't know anything about this.
What happened?
Whatever.
Come on, the fix is
what happened?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Now, obviously, he wanted to get Chewie out of the race. But I was talking to Skinny Jean once again, and he said, well, you can't beat somebody with nobody. Because there's going to be a line of guys who want to run for mayor, but they're nobodies.
Right.
So Chewie was probably the most high profile.
Somebody.
What?
But he didn't hit. To me, he didn't. Look, you want to be mayor of Chicago in a campaign against a guy like Rahm, who's extremely well-funded.
Yeah.
And now he's got his own newspaper, right? The Rahm Times. Uh-huh.
Does he really?
The Rahm Times, the tabloid, no? Isn't that what it's called?
Oh, the Sun Times.
I'm sorry.
You're not kidding.
You know? Okay.
I agree with that.
So
they wouldn't touch this book, by the way.
They wouldn't?
No.
Oh, what? I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... So he's got all that, and if you want to run against him, you have to do what you have to do. You have to go low. You know, this I go
low. That's what I told Chewie. You have to kick this guy right in the nuts.
Right
off the word, and he didn't know what I was talking about.
Right?
Yeah.
He didn't.
I said, come on, this is a street fight. You're from the south side. You went to Rita. This is it. Start it out, you know. Remember that scene in with Paul Newman and Robert Freight? We got to go over the Marcus of Queensbury rules, and he kicks the guy right in the cojones.
What's the rules, Jake, or whatever, right? Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what he should have done to Rob.
Right away.
Exactly.
But he didn't.
Right up, no.
You know, there's a certain, and he's a Southside kid. I mean, he grew up there. He didn't grow up with silver spoon in his mouth.
No. He's a really nice guy.
You guys can't want Logan.
Well, at least he's with us, Butch. You've been spending a lot of time gone.
Well, that's because everything's different now.
Guns or knives,
Butch? It's harder now. You got to plan more. You got to prepare more.
Guns or knives?
Neither.
Pick.
I don't want to shoot with you, Harvey.
Anything you say, Butch.
No, not yet. Not until me and Harvey get the rules straightened out.
Rules? In a knife fight? No rules.
Well, if there ain't going to be any rules, let's get the fight started. Someone count 1, 2, 3, go.
1, 2, 3, go.
I was really rooting for you, Butch.
Well, thank you, Flatnose. That's what sustained me in my time of trouble.
Anybody out there that could beat Rahm Emanuel?
Well, here's the interesting thing.
Gary McCarthy?
We were talking about that the other day, and I'll never forget him on television. And he goes, the mayor has my back. I said, you dummy. you think that little squirrel behind you has your back? He's got a knife out right now. And it was 2 weeks later. Adios. So I thought, what kind of cop is this guy? But he is somebody. You know, he's a recognizable. Maybe we could, you know, massage him some and straighten him out or get rid of some of that New York stuff and give him some South Side of Chicago lessons, you know, because he might have a shot if he gets his hands on some money.
The first lesson you learn on the South Side, besides kiss it up to God when you drop a piece of candy on the ground, kiss it up to God, right?
Yes.
Kiss it up to, is don't act big.
Ah, yeah.
Right? You don't act big, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You play big, you just don't act that way. And I think that's where Gary McCarthy's got a little issue.
Yeah.
Second issue with him, Rahm's problem is with black voters.
Yeah.
And that Laquan McDonald video is going to be coming out, right?
Oh, you know what? So
yeah.
I'm talking to my pal, Michael Joyce. And
Pickle.
He's talking to McCarthy. McCarthy, if he runs, this is what I hear, is going to spill the beans on the whole Laquan McDonald thing. Now, that'd be pretty interesting.
If he does.
I mean, if he comes right out and tells the true story.
That Rahm saw it.
That Rahm saw it and sat on it.
Told him to say it.
Yeah.
Then that changes everything.
That changes everything. But I don't see – the thing I don't see about McCarthy, and I respect him and everything, don't get me wrong, I do. Rahm's problem is with black voters.
Yeah.
And Latino voters. Even though he's playing the Mayor Zorro thing, it's not really working,
Zorro.
Right?
Yeah.
He doesn't. He's not like Zorro to the people.
Yeah.
You know? So
he's Zorro to Phil Ponce, though. I'll tell you that.
If
he's next door neighbor.
If you put McCarthy in there. Won't that coalesce the African Americans and Latinos for Rob?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Would they, at this point, vote for Rob? Come on. Of course, nothing's on the square. Who knows, you know?
Nothing's
on
the square.
He's got all that dough. He could give everybody $50 and still have some left. You know
who the big, you know, nothing's on the square? You know what he said, does in this book, Jeff Carlin?
Mm.
Mike Houlihan speculates that there was a radio host in Chicago at the time who wrote a newspaper column.
Huh.
People ask me, are you still on the radio?
A mild-mannered newspaper.
Yeah, mild. Yeah. And that this guy was saying, you got to have a runoff. Forget the merits of Chewy. The Chicago needs a runoff between these two. The city is owed the city this.
Right.
I agree. Yeah.
And after the runoff came, the guy who
got the tap on the shoulder.
What happened there? And then here comes Hooley, and he starts speculating in the book and in the Irish Times, and that was all over the internet, remember?
Uh-huh.
What was that about,
Hooley? Oh, you remember?
Hooley?
That's good.
Oh, yeah, it was on the internet. Oh, yeah. Well, so your contention is that I got fired from WLS because of that?
Yes. Otherwise, it's an awfully big coincidence. And there are no coincidences, right?
I think that's very kind of you to say. I would suggest, however, Jeff Carlin, that it's because I've got a face for radio and a voice for print.
There you go.
Oh, Jeff's not weighing in.
I would say corporate malfeasance and mismanagement is what led to John's dismissal.
Jeff was a great producer of that show.
Oh, was he? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm glad he's back. He's still
That's
with
why
you.
We're here yeah. together.
That's right.
Damon and Pythias. That's me and him.
Two other Greek guys, right?
Yeah, shut up now. So, Hooley, what do you see happening? What's the future? We're going to have a HBO special on this thing? This could be good,
what
man.
Thing?
The like book? A political guy in Chicago. Not like one of the bigs, right?
No.
But a guy, a street level
guy. I ain't one of the
bigs,
that's for sure.
But I mean.
Physically, I am.
Me too. But the guy that can tell the stories of the bigs by being like.
Here's the thing. How many people are going to trust me now after I put that book out? You know,
everybody.
They're going to be afraid. You know what, guy? People keep saying to me when they wrote, I hope you got security and stuff like that. I went, come on.
There's no security in the world.
Yes, exactly.
We're all dead men. Yeah. That's how we live. Right, Jeff?
Yes, right.
I wrote my whole life, I had five older brothers. Now three of them are dead, so things change. What can I tell you?
You know what? Okay, here's one. The stuff you guys put out in this book and in the campaign, you can see how campaigns actually run, where there'll be a theme and there'll be ways to put that theme in like local newspapers, like community papers, and get things going in each neighborhood. That's right. You're an expert at that. You
well, that's we were brought in to work the 19th Ward and the Irish ethnic vote all over the city. Yeah.
Now, how did he do? Chewy.
He didn't win it. He didn't win the 19th Ward. But the 19th Ward is machine.
Yeah, but...
You know.
I don't think that the Phil Ponce questions about Louis's kid helped.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
On the final debate.
Right?
You mean when Rahm said, I'm not comfortable with this line of questioning. You probably wrote the question yourself and handed it to him while you were both walking your poodles in Ravenswood that morning. Unbelievable.
Not poodles, a Yorkshire Terrier.
Okay, whatever. Yorkies.
Golden Doodle, no?
Yeah. Golden Doodle, yeah. Yeah. All right, so what's the next book, dude?
Let's see how many of this one I sell. But right. I had fun writing this, I'll tell you that, and reliving it, you know.
Now you're going to be doing media appearances all over because people are asking you, what kind of candidate would Chewy have been this time? Would he have been a candidate?
You know, he just announced that Bernie Sanders endorsed him. I thought, that isn't going to help you. And I thought, what good is that in Chicago? But he's running a different race now.
It helps him with that kid from the 35th Ward.
Who's that, the
Alderman Acosta?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who's the
yeah.
other Bernie bro? And even farther to
the left,
if you can believe.
Yeah.
Chewy's already out there.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
guy's... You know, farther there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You're right.
Figure,
it does help him with that guy.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what he needs. They need the Bernie. Okay, well, so how do if you want to find this book and it's nothing on the square.
Nothing's on the square.
Nothing's on the square written by Mike Houlihan. And there's a nice picture of Rom and a kid, an African-American kid, reaching his hand out, and Rom's kind of shying away.
Yeah, I love it.
Isn't it?
That's a great picture.
I did love when during the campaign when the mayor would always do high fives with African-American kids. Like every 5 seconds, there's a commercial. Yeah. Like, here's this book. Would you like to read it? It's Tolstoy, War and Peace, my children. She's only, my daughter's 9, but she read it. Would you?
Yeah.
And give me a high five, bro.
What do you think of my sweater?
That was a great moment. When he did that commercial where he had to eat some humble pie and he's got the crew neck sweater on and, you know, I'm your nice old pal.
I got one on.
Yeah, but it was like,
mine's not
come into my home,
right.
And I know. Sometimes I talk when I should listen, and it's like, yeah. I can't believe this, that they think people are going to buy it. It was such a, and it also proved they're desperate now.
Yeah.
You know, he's going into groveling mode, which means he'll kill me in a second, you know, stab you in the back. Anyway.
So if you want to, let's say it again, if you want to buy this book, everybody, and I want you to go buy it.
Please.
Because there's like good stuff about me in there that I'm not going to say on the air because I don't want to act big. Nothing's on the square. Mike Houlihan. And where do you get this book, Mike?
You get it at Amazon.com or Abbey Field Press. Or I'll be out at Gaelic Park Sunday, December 10th, right after Mass, selling books, 10:45. I'll be at Riley's Daughter December 10th from 2 to 5 on 111th Street, 4010 West 111th Street. I'll be on December 17th, Sunday, I'll be at the Curra Traditional Irish Pub on Northwest Highway, 6700 Northwest. See, I'm going to all the Irish neighborhoods.
And you're
going
to go to Harrington's?
No.
Which has the great corned beef
on Milwaukee Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to Ray Harrington.
You know what? I used to hate
Ken Harrington.
I grew up not liking corned beef. I have to confess that.
Really?
I grew up can't standing corned beef.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point of not. And we're from 55th and Peoria.
Yeah.
Right? I hate it. And I think it's because my mom, who's Greek, didn't consciously made it bad. You know what I mean?
Accidentally.
You know
on
what
purpose.
I mean? Accidentally on purpose. I went to a place out on Brookfield for a church to do a speech at a church men's club. They were like, I thought there would be 20 guys there. There were like 500 guys.
Wow.
There.
And they had the corned beef?
And they had the Harrington corned beef.
Oh, they had
beef.
Harrington's, yeah.
Oh, that Harrington's corned beef. It was so juicy,
they
so
the
delicious.
They had the spuds and the apple pie.
And the cabbage.
The cabbage, yeah. It's great stuff. You're making me hungry.
But they're not sponsors or anything. I'm just saying. Okay. Mike,
wait, I'm also going to be, December 23rd, I'm at Molly's Public House in Riverside from 4 to 7.
Riverside?
Great little pub. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I might stop by and see you.
Yeah.
Mike Houlihan?
Thank you so much.
Say hi to everybody in the 19th Ward, because nothing's on the square. Well, Jeff Carlin, you like that corned beef?
I'm sure it's great. I have to try it.
It is really delicious. Are we sucking up too much for sponsors? But I'm thinking we should have some, and I don't know how to get people to understand this. Call WGN, figure it out. I'm not going to go call you.
Yeah,
but figure it out. But
or find me. I'll point
Carlin.
You in the right direction.
You can find him, and his Twitter is JP Carlin at
JP Carlin. Yeah, that's me.
It's JP Carlin. What?
That's it.
That's it. Twitter, right?
Yep, that's me on Twitter at JP Carlin.
And I'm John_Cass. And you know what this has been? This has been another edition of the Chicago Way. So thanks for listening, everybody, and don't think that we don't thank you for listening, because I love talking to you guys on Facebook and Twitter about the podcast. I just love it, and I just like talking to you. But remember the last thing I'm going to say on this thing. All the stuff that's coming out, all the new stuff that's coming out this week, all the tax plan and this and that, and who talked to Robert Mueller and who waved a sex toy at some producer, all that stuff. Remember this. Are you an American? Can you decide who enters your country? Do you live in a sovereign country with borders? And what's her name? What's her name? Her name is Kate Steinle. Thanks for listening, everybody.